Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Father, we thank you for your presence here in this room and across in our other church, across the courtyard on this beautiful, beautiful Melbourne winter's day. Amen. Good morning. Please grab a seat. And welcome to our podcast guests and to our guests out in the Parents Lounge area too. There was an American lawyer, and he wanted to drum up more business. So this American lawyer rented billboard space on the side of a freeway. And to catch everybody's eye, to drum up his business more, this is what he wrote up, or he had put up on the billboard. Even though you did it, you're still not guilty. And he was hoping to attract more business with that. And I wonder if we've adopted the same strategy where we go, even though I did it, I'm still not guilty because there's always someone else to blame. The blame game. And if you think about going right back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis, many of you will know this story where Adam takes for the fruit from the tree of knowledge, and the Lord follows him up, and because he wasn't supposed to do that, and the Lord says to him, "Hey, mate, what's going on?" And you know where Adam goes? Well, the woman that you gave me, you gave me this woman, blame. As you know, reading those first chapters of Genesis, then the Lord follows up Eve, and he says, Hey, what's going on?" She says, "Well, the serpent, the serpent, it's the serpent." Blame, and it rolls on. And if you've read Genesis before, you know that then the serpent has someone else to blame. And there in Genesis in black and white, those who you are biblical scholars will have read where the serpent blames, who does he blame? You've all gone silent. He blames Collingwood supporters. And that's just the way it is. But we've bought into that. And many times we blame our spouses in the blame game. Sometimes we blame our kids. Sometimes our kids blame us. An interesting one, a new phenomenon that's come up in recent years that my teacher friends have been telling me about, is that parents and kids actually combine and blame the teachers. True, that it's never the kids' fault anymore. It's the blame's always on the teacher, so that adds pressure to them. Generations tend to blame previous generations, and even we have a basketball association that's been going for decades, and it's always the ref's fault. It's always the ref's fault, and a lot of the time I sit there on the sidelines and watch, and I'll tell you this secret. Because not many people know this, but I've actually played at A-grade level basketball. So I know that much about the game. And when these players go off at the ref week after week after week, because it's always the ref's fault, you've got to blame someone. I've sat on the sidelines. I've actually thought, what about if I walk out in the middle of the game and go, take a chill pill about it, buddy, It's not the ref's fault. You're actually a lousy player. Hey, seriously, you're a good social player. You're not a very good player. So it's not the ref's fault. And then just walk back off to the sidelines and sit back down again. But I can't do that for three reasons. One, encouragement is a gateway core value. Two, I'm a pastor. Three, I'm on the association board. So my fun is wrecked there. But that's what we tend to do. And we blame so many areas of life, and we sometimes Christians blame the church. It's always the church's fault. It's the blame game. But when I play the blame game, it stops me from improving in two areas. So if you've got your outlines out, and let's interact, let's get into it together. You're not just a spectator, let's do this together. When I play the blame game, it stops me from improving in two areas. One, it stops me from improving myself. It stops me from improving myself because when there's someone else to blame, I remain. So what do I need to improve? You're the problem, not me. Secondly, it stops me from improving my relationships. All my healthy relationships get affected and get diluted and dissipate when I'm playing the blame game around my relationships all the time. And what happens is when we continue to play the blame game, plan B for us sometimes is, for some of us can be, well, I'll just remove myself from this situation and go and find another job because it was the job's fault, or I'll change churches because it's the church's fault, or I'll, unfortunately, even sometimes I'll change families because that will change things too if I change the families. But the problem with that is that within a few months later, you've started the blame again. New people, new location, but you've started that game again. And when we do that, you know, it's just, it's not a good thing to do. Because when we do that, and we start in a new location with new people, same game, there's only one problem. It's this: wherever I go, there I am. I've taken the game with me. And now, I want to make a note here, and I mean this absolutely with gutmost sincerity. Sometimes bad things happen to you. So there's bad things that happen to you that, you know, you've copped some bad things over the years. Everyone, it happens to everyone, and I acknowledge that absolutely. That sometimes happens. But think about a time when you were unfairly blamed. Think about a time when you were unfairly blamed. How did it make you feel? Tell the person next to you. How did that make you feel? Just take 30 seconds and talk to the person next to you. How did it make you feel? Last week I was talking about the Apostle Paul, and what a great person, what a great Christian, wasn't a Christian, hated Christians, became a Christian, loves Jesus, goes around the Mediterranean planting churches, new churches wherever he went. And as I was saying last week, where Paul would plant churches, and he would go back and visit some of them, and if he couldn't make it, he'd send them letters. And so much of the New Testament is Paul's letters. And when he'd write back to the young churches full of young Christians, not unlike Gateway, we've only been going so many decades and all levels of maturity and that, Paul would also write in letters, not only would he say g'day to them and how you going and a blessing, he'd acknowledge some people, they'd be mentioned in the letters, and he'd also give them some 1% as things I need to tweak and tune up along the way, and it makes up a lot of the New Testament. And in this letter to the Romans, to the young church with the young Christians in Rome, at the start of that letter, Paul is reminding them and giving them context of the culture that they've stepped out of. And in the Message version that Eugene Peterson wrote, I've just put up some summaries, words that Eugene Peterson said, puts up here for us. He says, Paul's reminding these young Christians, he says, well, you know, the community, the culture around you, they trivialise themselves into silliness and confusion, no sense of direction in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but were illiterate regarding life. Sexually confused, all lust, no love. Rampant evil, grabbing and grasping, bickering and cheating, first century, 21st century, mean-spirited, venomous, bullies, swaggerers, insufferable windbags. They keep inventing new ways of wrecking their lives. They neglect their parents, they're stupid, they're slimy, they're cruel, they're cold-blooded, is what Eugene Peterson's version for us to read there. So Paul is just giving context to what these new Christians have stepped out of the culture around them. Imagine the Christians sitting there and acknowledging that, going, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yep. You know what? The culture around us, they deserve everything they're going to cop. Yeah. And then I can imagine Paul with a knowing smile turning his gaze to the Chardonnay Christians. As the Christians sipping there with their Chardonnays high on the moral, blameless high ground. And look how Paul then rolls into the next part of the letter. And remember, he's talking to Christians. Have a look what he says here. Yep, Paul says those people are on a dark spiral downward. But if you think that leaves you on the high ground, where you can point your fingers at others, think again, says Paul. Every time you criticise someone, you condemn yourself. It takes one to know one. Paul says judgmental criticism of others is a well-known way of escaping detection in your own crimes and misdemeanors. But God isn't so easily diverted, says Paul. He sees right through all such smoke screens and holds you to what you've done, Mark. Ouch. Ouch. The blame game. Many years ago, a mate and I working on the roads in the Northern Territory. We were young and stupid, and it was hot. And so you'd start at 6 a.m., morning tea was at 9 a.m., and I can remember this time, my mate and I stopped for morning tea, we grabbed our cans of Coke, found a shady spot to the side of the highway, and we were just having our Cokes together. And my mate went and sat on an old clay-baked anthill with his shorts on. It's hot. So he's about face level with me, and we're standing having our Coke and talking about life, these young bucks. And here we were. And next, after a little while chatting and drinking our Cokes, his eyes started to widen and widen and widen. And then the shouting started as he grabbed at his shorts. Then the screaming started as he pulled his shorts off. And there attached to his left testicle was a cute, cute, cute one-inch bull ant. You could hear his screams in Darwin. You could hear my laughter in Broome. True story. 3 days later, after many trips to the bush hospital, 3 days later, the swelling went down. I laughed for 3 days. I was so glad it wasn't me. Bull ants can be cute, but they got a sting to them. I'm still smiling about it. What you've got in your outline there? Is an acronym we're about to fill in. And that acronym is, I've come up with cute words. Pull out, get ready. They're cute words. Why are they cute words? One, to get a smile on your face, because it's winter. Two, that you'll remember at least by lunchtime. But those acronyms have actually got a sting in them, a really big sting. How do I know? Because as I was scribbling them out on the pad thinking about it, I was actually going, ooh, ow, ooh. So I'm just warning you, all you blokes, put your hand up if you're a bloke, pull your pants up tight around you as we fill in this acronym. Remember, the context is the blame game. The lame, blame. The lame, blame. When you're lame, lame means there's something disabled, there's something limp, there's something broken, there's something disabled on the inside. And when you're playing the blame game, there's something lame inside you. It's not the other person's fault, if we're being real. there's something lame that needs to be looked at, that needs to be fixed, as I was talking about last week. There's something lame inside me if I keep playing the blame game. Blame snuffs or douses flame. A flame is bright, it's a glow, there's a light, there's a passion. And when you play the blame game, you fluff out healthy romantic relationships. You fluff out and snuff out healthy relationships around you, and you end up wondering what happened to your circle of friends. Because you've been playing the blame game for so long that it's just been moving away from you. Well, your romantic relationships were not what they were 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10, 20 years ago. What's going on there? Blame creates tame. Tame is when someone is domesticated, when they're timid, when they're subdued. And as I said last week, when Paul says, when they're small-souled. So when you come across someone who is tame and domesticated inside and subdued and timid and small-souled, unfortunately what I've found over the decades, male or female, doesn't matter what the age, often I've found that that person is that way because the people that claim to love them actually are blaming them all the time for everything. Ouch. Here's a stinger for parents. Who's a parent in the room? Blame reduces game. Blame reduces game. Game means when someone is high-spirited, energetic, brave, a risk-taker. We have an Australian colloquialism that says, it's been around forever and a day, a bush ranger called Ned Kelly, who was also a murderer. We used to say for decades, we would say, oh, that person's as game as Ned Kelly. It was a compliment. They were energetic, they were spirited, they were brave. Parent, if you look at your children and you're wondering, I wonder if because they've lost their zest for life, they've lost their energy for life, they've lost their courage for life, they've lost that spirit for life that they had when they were a bit younger, are we subtly in some way playing the blame game with our kids in some way? Not always verbal. Is that what we're doing as parents? Ouch. Ouch. Ouch, ouch. Now, what I love about Paul, I love this Apostle Paul, the more I get to know him over the decades, he always gives us a way out. He gives us a way forward as Christians. Paul always gives us something to do Monday to Friday that makes our life more meaningful and gives hope to those around us. That's what I love about Paul. And here's the context here. He gives us these short verse. He was visiting young Christians in a young church in a city called Colossae. And so he writes this letter to the Colossians. And this verse that I'm about to show you is so short and so simple. If you look at it like I've done 100 times and just glance over it and miss the challenge of it. Paul's given us a simple way forward, but it's the most challenging way forward. You know, over the years, as I get older and grumpier, people that say, Christianity's for wimps. I feel like saying, buddy, really? I think you have to actually be braver and have more guts and more courage to live out the Christian life as a bloke than to take the easy option. That's just my opinion. But I can't say that because I'm a pastor. I have to be loving and relational and all that. But let's look at what Paul says when he gives us a way out of how to stop playing the blame game. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul says, be even-tempered. Other versions say, be gentle, be gracious, be understanding. Content with second place, quick to forgive an offence, forgiving as quickly and as completely as the Master forgave you. If we look at that and work that through, it gets rid of the blame game. Yeah. Be even-tempered, gracious, gentle, understanding of other people. Content with second place. Years ago, many years ago, In business, the corporation I worked for used to give us fantastic company cars. And to keep the insurance rates down, they would send you on driver defensive courses around the racetrack. So every year, you would go and do these driver defensive courses, similar to what the police do. They would do it to a higher level, of course. So around the racetrack, you would do things like they'd set up half a kilometre of witches' hats, and at the end, it'd be witches' hats. And you have to go through the 80 kilometres an hour, and when they'd wave a red flag, you had to brake. And that was great fun on a dry track. And then they'd send around a fire tanker, and they would water that same area. So you'd do a loop and come back, and when they'd wave the flag to go, you would go same speed, and you go through that things, through the witches' hats, and when the flag went, you had to brake, and brake well. So you learnt that technique, which was absolutely fantastic. Another one they taught you that I use to this day is they teach you how to anticipate what's happening four or five cars in front of you that you drive so that you can respond and not react. P-platers. So they teach you to look four or five cars ahead of the lights way down the track braking. What's happening down 3 seconds further on than the immediate car in front of you that gives you a chance to respond and not react, which also saves you a lot of brake costs on your brake pads too. To this day, I've done that. So over those years, my antennas are actually up on defensive driving. So, and again, because I'm old and grumpy, I can tell you some of the sins of my life. If I come up, what I've discovered in recent years, when I think about myself, if I come up to a traffic intersection with lights, and I cruise up, and it's a 2 or 3 lane highway, and I come up, and it goes red. I stop right on the grid, nothing in front of me, and I think, I've just got to sit here for 60 seconds, wait till the sequence goes through, listen to the podcast a bit more. When it's green, look to the left, look to the right through the intersection, and just cruise through. How easy is that? But I have realised that if I'm at the lights, same thing, sitting there, listening to a podcast, no worries, wait for the sequence to go through, and a car pulls up alongside me, and I look, and it's a male, I go, okay. Now, I have to get through the intersection before he does. Because I'm not taking second place. I don't care if I'm half a bonnet in front, but the blokes are smiling at me. I'm going to get through the intersection before that bloke does because I want to be first, not in second place. I know none of you think that way. I can be at the supermarket and the trolley can be like this. Absolutely like this. Why it's like this is because Sally's 6 cartons of wine are underneath it. Then the food's on top and I can be there and I'm looking at the person in front of me. They're 20 seconds away from finishing. Everything's good. This is going to be about a 3-minute job. And a person come up behind me with just one or two items. And do I go, you go through. You only take 10 seconds. You please go through. Oh no. I have to be first. And if I let them through, I'm taking second place. So stand back, buddy, and wait 3 minutes while I do all of Sally's wine and everything through there. What's that about? What's that about? Second place. Then as I looked over that verse and really kept rereading it, looking at different translations and thinking about what's the gist of what Paul's on about, to my horror, I realised after a while that short verse, have a look at it again. Be even-tempered, gracious, gentle, understanding. Ah, that's what Jesus was. Oh, yeah. Content with second place. Jesus didn't try and push his Heavenly Father out of the main role. He didn't try and ride his disciples. Jesus was quick to give an offence, to forgive an offence. And I realised, Paul's saying, Mark, just walk like Jesus and the blame game will stop. It was like a light went off in my head. Such a simple passage, but so challenging for us to do. You know, if we claim that Christ has come into our life, not just head knowledge, but it's actually implanted his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into us, and it grows at different rates like a seed. You don't have to be perfect, but God's Spirit is in you. What happens is you realise one of the things is you've been forgiven. And Karl Barth, one Christian, says, you know, Christians, when Christians look back, all they see when they look back is forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. And when you've been touched by the power of Christ in your life and you look back at circumstances and people you've met and situations and you understand the power of the cross, I reckon Karl Barth's got this right when he's saying that all you see is forgiveness, 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 forgiveness. And it expands you to be gentle, to be gracious, to be understanding towards others. You see, if you're struggling with the blame game, it's part of your lifestyle, I'm just hanging it out there that, you know, when you really know you're forgiven, really know you are forgiven for all the stuff behind you, you forgive. Forgiven people forgive. The blame game has no place. You know, does that make sense? Question. Do you forgive as God forgave you? Do you forgive as God forgave you? Challenging question. But there is a pathway forward to get rid of your blame game. We should be so grateful to the Apostle Paul. Fantastic. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, who was quick to forgive, gracious and gentle and understanding, didn't try to take first place, but actually came and served as a model for us, Lord, that we have a way forward, not to play the blame game, but to live a life that's full of hope and hope towards others. We thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for the relevance of your word, that when we actually look at it and think about it and apply it, it helps us Monday to Friday in our families, with our relationships, in our workplaces, with our teammates, with fellow Christians. We thank you so much for that. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.